Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi, Ben. What's going on with you today, honey pie?
So much. So much is going on because my head is full of Beverly Hills, which we're about to talk about. The Traitors, which we're going to talk about on Patreon today. Sure, Valley Persian style. We'll throw that in there too. It's taking up some headspace. I mean, everything's in my head at the moment. So I'm bursting at the seams. We are closing in on our date for the Golden Crappies. That's about a month away and change. So come join us there. Our tickets are on sale at watchwhatcrappens.com. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great times. Keep an eye out for the ballots that will start coming out. For round one will be general voting. Round two will be the official ballot. And, you know, we have Crappens on Demand on our Patreon, also ad-free. If you are a Patreon supporter, you get ad-free Watch for Crappens as well. Patreon.com/Watch for Crappens for all that good stuff. And by the way, hey, I feel like we haven't really mentioned this that much, but a week before the Crappies, we're going to be in Miami and we're performing at the South Beach Food and Wine Festival, which is really, really cool. Like, I think we're on the same lineup as like Carla Hall and some other really cool food people, Elvis Duran Morning Show. So, that's just gonna be fun. We're just doing that for fun over there. So catch us in Miami if you're down there and let's all party. So that
is
all
the new feature coming this weekend to Patreon, and this is actually free on Patreon, so you can just go be a member of Patreon and not pay us anything. That's fine. But it's a newsletter and it's kind of a diary of what went on during the week and the week in Bravo in general. It's kind of going back to our old blogging days. So check that out. That'll be out either late night or tomorrow over on El Patreon. So check that
out.
Free.
That's free.
Yeah, free.
That's free.
Free.
That's not like you can just get it. And then be free. You can just read it.
Get it in your inbox. Just get it in your inbox.
Yeah. We're just trying to centralize everything over there because it's easier for you guys to have one central place to find everything than be going to a million different blah, blah, blah everywhere.
Yes.
So today is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, season 15, episode 6, Star Signs and Bad Times.
Yes. I felt like this was the first like good episode of the season. Right. Like, I mean, the episodes have been fine, but this is the first one where I was like, wow, this is the first one where I was like, I think I was invested the way I felt like I should be for a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills episode. What about you, Ronnie?
Yeah. Ben texted me last night during the episode and said, this episode is actually really good. Signs of life.
Yeah, for sure. I think like we've been watering the Amanda plant. And the first sprouts are coming up, like, and meaning in the sense that like the women have been slowly getting annoyed by her, and now it's starting to bubble out, and that's what I've been waiting for all season, is the conflict to brew. So that made me really happy. Of course, there was a mix of tragedy in there as well.
Just kidding. We're like, wow, Amanda really did great last night. It's like trauma. It's like all trauma. We're all trauma bonded after the episode. We're like, what a great episode. It's like the most depressing thing ever that happened.
I know. Well,
so there was like a lot of horrible stuff that happened too. But still, I mean, the funny comes out in Dorit just being so completely tone deaf and unable to read a room.
Especially after what Dorit went through and how angry she was at Sutton for being equally tone deaf in that moment. So it's good to see what goes around comes around. But we begin in Beverly Hills. Look at all these brands. Louis Vuitton, Balenciaga, Kyle by Aileen, shadows of a past time. So it's the typical stuff with like violins and
Kyle, you know, by Aileen, nevermore.
We see Kyle's driveway, and their driveway is just like full of black cars. It's like this is where the motorcade parks. You know, when a president's in town, they park in Kyle's driveway until the president's.
Kyle doesn't have enough money for all those Birkins, so she's starting her own Uber fleet over there. Just lots of giant black cars.
She can't find her car. She has all the same color car. It's kind of like she's going to like rob a bank or something. And it's like, ooh, which one is the getaway car? And she's also winds up having a lot of trouble getting out of her driveway. And I'll tell you why. Because she's got too many tall hedges around that driveway. That's why you don't have tall hedges around your driveway, because inevitably you're going to need to do some K-turns. And those hedges get in the way. You need to give yourself a little bit of space because, you know, your tire can stay in the driveway, but your car butt can poke out into where the hedges are. And now you've lost that space. So fuck you, Kyle.
Then we go to Sutton. She's opened packages and she's got a little fly mask and hoof covers for her horse. She's like, wow, I'm a horse girl. I love horses. It's my horse. That horse really hurt my feelings. Fuck you, horse. Then we go to Erica.
Fuck you, horse.
Fuck you, horse. Oh, I talked to my mama. Everything's better now. She keeps relying on this, like, wow, I went to my therapist, Reba. Sutton, you're basically illustrating your problem. Your therapist is Reba. You need to go to real therapy, okay? No one should be calling your mother. No one should be calling their mother for therapy in general anyway, but especially, particularly your mother. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your mother's horrifying. What are we going to get next? Muzzy for, you know, like good after lunch hugs? No.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody needs that. It's not gonna happen. Needs Reba.
Well, we go to Erica's house where we get our traditional top of the episode. Erica does some things around her house. She's just like us. And so she's doing some things. And Erica's like, look, not everybody underestimates my homemaking skills. And she basically dusts a chair outside. Look at me. I'm just like every other American out there, dusting off a chair.
I'm just like you, just dressed a lot more stupidly. Thanks, America.
Then we go to Rodeo Drive. And there's a song. I guess they go to a store called What Goes Around Comes Around.
Oh, really?
With Justin Timberlake memorabilia.
It goes around.
Rachel comes in. She's like, I just wanted to know if you had a new jacket from the brand. This is going to ruin the tour.
Oh, my God. My bag. I want this right away. Oh, my God. Chanel Black Caviar Supermodel XL. $11,000. $500. Oh, my God. It's mine. Like, I literally die. And the vendor's like, oh, my God. This is literally your closet, Rachel. Like, it's like my closet. Like, I feel like I'm in my closet. And, like, outside, there's, like, Kai Kai. And he's, like, knocking on the door. Being like, Mom, can I get a Capri Sun? I'm like, Kai, so you can get whatever you want because you're so moisturized. You're a great son. Oh, my God. I die.
It's like literally a disease how I shop. Like, I literally cannot stop shopping. It's like a drug. I'm dead. Slow motion, Rachel. I'm dead. There's a certain kind of a gay that is bred only to please Real Housewives. I feel like maybe like an NPC character following the housewife along her journey, just there to be like, make a left up there, make a right up there. You're doing great. And this gay is one of those. And he was cracking me up this whole time. He's just like, wow, Rachel, this is basically your closet. Am I right? Do a twirl on that. Get that watch. You better get that watch, Rachel. Yes. You're going to buy that? It's going to complete you. Yes.
Yeah, that he's just really just there to give like affirmations to a lady who's shopping.
Yeah, he's so good at it. He made me feel good. I wasn't even shopping. She's like taking a little treat out of her purse. Open up, gay. Here you go. You did great. You did great.
But it's nice because he gets so excited to see her excited. And when I am in that role, I'm like, that's nice. But I'm like bored, you know? And so I think it's really cool that this is able to access a pleasure zone for him in a way that it can't for me. Because like I try to sometimes be a fashion gay and, you know, I pay attention more to fashion now, but more like men's fashion for myself. But like I struggle to really connect with women's fashion and with the same sort of attention that these other gays do. And so it's cool. It's cool. But like
it's sweet.
I'm not built for it. I'm not built.
Yeah,
for it.
It's sweet. It's like his calling. You know, he's just called to do it. And that's what he feels. That's what he and it could be. It doesn't even have to be fashion. He could be working at a cookie store. But if a housewife comes in there, he's going to be like, oh, my God, yes, this is your cookie. Yes, snickerdoodle. You better snicker that doodle. Yes, you're killing. It's like just pleasing his master, his natural master in the food chain, the Real Housewives.
The sidekick in the side cook world. Well, I would become that like in a cookbook store. I will be honest, or like a kitchen, like a restaurant supply store. I'd be like, oh my God, bitch, get a sheet pan. Yes. Oh, I love this for you. Do you have cast iron skillet? Oh yeah. Get a 10 incher. See if you like it. Move up to 12 inch after that. Oh yeah. She is beautiful. I mean, I will access it there, but I will not access it at what goes around comes around.
You never know. They could come out with cookware.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, Rachel is, you know, now trying on a $5,000 jacket, and then Bose comes, and Bose is like, oh my God, a Rolex. I have to have this Rolex. And he's like, oh my God, two housewives at one time. Hold on. Let me grow another head so I can talk to you about, yes. Like another little gay head pops up. He's like, yes, get the Rolex. Yes, get the jacket. The Rolex is you. That jacket is your soul.
Dad, double headed dad. Do you have like a third head?
It'd I'm glad like there's so two of you here to watch me die.
I'm going to name left head Ban and right head Nanas. So, but Bose is like, well, I might have to get it. I really can't be trying other things, though, because TMI, I'm bloated. But not because of anything I ate, girl. It's because of medication. And Rachel's like, oh, yeah, I was praying for you. Like, how did it go? The medication and the things you were doing. I was praying for the things, etc. So good. In 2 days, I'm going back to Vegas. And Keely and I will come with me and I'll get my eggs retrieved. And the doctors say there's a 40% chance that it'll just be some poker chips. But who knows? What goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas.
What is it with Real Housewives refusing to do egg retrieval in their cities? I mean, you've got Quad, who's like, I'm going to Ghana. I'm going to Ghana for my eggs. And then you've got this one who's going to Vegas. I mean, Vegas is a lot closer than Ghana. But,
well, like, I mean, Ghana, I understand.
Is there just no good egg stuff in, like, where you live? I mean, if Atlanta has a pretty big, huge, great medical community, and I'm sure Beverly Hills does. I mean, at the very least, in Beverly Hills, you can get your eggs, and they'll already have their cheeks done right there in the little Petri dish.
Yeah. Well, I understand with Quad, there's like a spiritual connection to the land, it seems like. And then with maybe Bo's going to Vegas, it's like knowing that you can get egg retrievals and then actually a side of eggs and bacon for $2, you know, as part of the Vegas special.
Vegas doesn't charge you by the egg. They charge you by the experience. I got 37 eggs. I went to a buffet of eggs.
Well, the truth is this. I know I can retrieve my eggs here in Beverly Hills, but if you do it in Vegas, Chris Angel performs it for you, and it's just fascinating.
I want my baby to be there while Adele has a residency.
It's like the guy that's that little this guy's got the dragon. He's like, time to get your eggs.
Carrot Top's pulling your egg out of a chest. So she talks about her ultrasound and she's like, oh, it showed six egg houses. They were all modern farmhouse. So I know this baby will fit in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They can retrieve the eggs. I'm ecstatic about the eggs because the more eggs I have, the more hot sauce I'll have in my refrigerator.
Kyle is already jealous because she heard that Bose is getting up to three more houses. What? She's getting three houses?
That's so, like 15 more cars for me. I'm gonna have to buy 15 three more houses. Is gonna be 15 more cars to park out front.
Oh my God, I can't believe she's doing that. So now we're back from Bo's talking about that, and she's like, well, Rachel, I know you're having a party on Friday. She's like, no, you have to come. It's going to be so fun. I die. She's like, but I understand. Like, I get it. It's like, oh my God, sunglasses. Okay, whatever you're talking about, that was cool. But like, look, sunglasses. Oh my God, price tags. It's so chic. Love it.
By the way, can I point something out about the trip? Like, I'm not even kidding. Okay. I am like, I'm a wing it person, as you know. Like, I just roll into my life. Whatever the fuck happens, happens. As long as I'm in some kind of a caftan.
Yeah. But that's I'm such a wing it girl that I like totally FedEx my wardrobe ahead of time so that way it'd be ready for me when I got there. I just wing it.
And I think for Amanda, everything has to be laid out. Like, I think she's like very systematic. And by systematic, I mean.
She pervades all of our culture.
She's a dumb whore. This is like the unspoken of what I'm saying.
It's systematic Amandaism. So systematic.
It's systemic. You know what? Amanda's systemic.
So then we see flashbacks of Amanda in the kitchen being like, oh, so like, when are we having dinner? Cause like, I don't understand the timing. Like, should I be here? Should I not be here? Like, when are we going to eat? Which I think is, to her credit, a very fair question to ask if people are down there and they're cooking, but no one knows when actual dinner is.
Yeah. This is when housewives start hinting around that they hate somebody and they're just trying to get like put feelers out to see if you hate them too. You know, she's like, I don't want to just say she's a dumb bitch who like wears labels incorrectly. So I'm just going to call her systematic. What do you think about that? Yeah. Let's start baby steps. Systematic. Baby steps to bitch. Systematic. Go.
She's systematic. Automatic.
Cryostatic. Endomatic.
Is that bad, Missy Elliott? I don't think those are the lyrics. Automatic. Oh my God, it sounds like Vegas. My eggs are ready.
So Amanda, now it's the next morning. Okay. And I'm sorry. No, it's not the next morning.
No, she's still talking about Amanda being systematic and like how she has to do everything planned out. And then we see a clip of Amanda being like, I made my first list for my future ideal husband when I was 13. So like I made a list. Yeah. I've had a list for like 20 years. I'm systematic. She's like, see, systematic. It's even in the flashback.
So systematic. So Bose is like, well, her dropping that information about her friend and Avi, that was not accidental. And Rachel's like, I don't think anything she does is like accidental. And Bose is like, well, she wanted to drop it in there and perhaps gain some points. But the problem is that backfired. And then all of a sudden it's like dun 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 dun. And then we go over to Amanda's Newport Beach rental home. And it's all beachy and there's flags out there and all the kids are running around. And Amanda's like, Shoshana, because of course she has a kid named Shoshana, would you mind rollerblading around the house at a slightly lower speed? Shoshana, she's just like a blur.
Shoshana is going in circles around the kitchen island really fast. Like, whatever, mother, I know the rules. And Eddie's like, bye, Felicia, because the kids go outside. So they leave. And Amanda tells us that they rented a place in Newport Beach and they just loved it so much that now, like, they're there every weekend. And it's basically like raising her children in the 80s because they're like not on screens. So,
yeah, just an ideal place to live.
Newport Beach, old fashioned Newport Beach.
Yeah.
Just like, so, man, just like raising your kids in the good old simple day.
Yeah. So Amanda and Eddie are sitting down in the living room and Amanda's like, oh, I wanted to tell you about the Sedona trip while the babies are napping and the big kids are out. And he's like, yeah. So you guys flew into the small Sedona airport? Yeah, it was the small one, not the big one for the people with money. P.S. I like Erica. Remember when I said that she was the one who said boring when I ordered a mocktail? Remember that story I told? It was so funny. Okay. In recap, I ordered a mocktail and Erica went boring. And I was like, I got you. I understand you. Anyway, I told you like a little bit about Sutton, right? Okay. Yeah. Well, I heard her old sister was like, you know, like saying to her like, oh, have Amanda call me and I'll give her like all the dirt. Right. Yeah. And then I like said that to Sutton, like verbatim as I got in the text. And then she like went cold. Like, I mean, like her eyes like looked mad. And I was like, what? I'm just like saying it verbatim from like a text. And she's like, what? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, I've got more money than you. So why are you looking at me? And she's like, what? And I was like, what? And we just like looked at each other.
Yeah. Well, she obviously doesn't know you because she only gets a few strikes before you cut a bitch down. And she goes, I mean, you're not wrong.
I wonder what they're doing up in Beverly Hills at a boutique somewhere.
Well, all I know is that she calls herself the money queen. And Rachel goes, the money queen? Seriously? What? And she's like, yes, that's what she calls herself. Did you not know that? She goes, what the fuck does that even mean, the money queen? Like, what is that? Seriously? What?
Yes, that's what she calls herself. It's a public thing. I don't know. And Rachel's like, money the queen. Money queen? I'm still just like trying to figure out how these words go together. I'm just going to say it one more time. The money queen? I don't die.
I don't know why I keep repeating myself. No, hold on. I'll repeat myself. Money queen? Seriously? Yes, but you've never had a job before. How are you telling people how to get money? I mean, if I could roll my eyes harder, I would. My love that both is onto her already. Yes. Money queen, what do you do? I take people's money. Listen, I think that that's valid. I think that if you've got millions of dollars from, you know, scamming it off other people, that's you still got it. You still got mm-hmm. the money.
Yeah. Well, we go back a few weeks when Amanda was like, yeah, I've got like no formal business experience. But then I found I have like a gift around the energetic part of money, which is still such a funny thing to say. So Bo's like, if somebody is going to teach somebody else about how to make money, I expect that they make a lot of money doing some kind of work before. That way they can tell someone how to do the work so they can get the money that they're supposed to get after.
But Bose is missing the point. She's not trying to tell people how to work to get the money. She's telling people how to dream to get the money. You know, yeah. she's
how to pay them. To dream to get the money. Invest your money now so you can learn how to know how to get it back and then some.
I don't even think it's investing. It's just like manifesting in Amanda. Money. Oh, yeah, yeah. In invest your money.
Pay your money now. Yeah,
yeah. Give your money mm-hmm. to me. And then one day maybe you'll be rich because you gave me a lot of money. I mean, that's a miss for stupid people, but still, she's getting it. You know, what would we only take money from smart people?
Mm-hmm. So Rachel's like, I thought she does like affirmations. Like, am I okay? Am
I okay? Like, could you check my pulse? Okay? Do I have one?
Do I have sudden onset coma coming on because I thought she only did affirmations? She's like the money queen. Like,
hold on, I'm going towards the light. I'm going towards the light. I think I'm dead. Hold on. Going towards the light. It's a watch, queen pie. This is your watch. This is your watch, bitch. Oh, my God. I'm seeing two heads right now. Are there two gay people here or am I dead? Are you angels? Are you angels? Are you angels? Yes or no?
I have, like, malaria from a money queen mosquito. I, like, can't. Producer asks Rachel, would you ever read Amanda's book, Rich as Fuck? And she's like, no. I would never read a book called Rich as Fuck. No. It's just like not my energy. I just don't even know what a book is. Like, what's a book? Like, I've been booked. So you're asking me, like, would I be booked? Like, yeah, I'll be booked.
Is this book, tell me, is it written on a caftan? Okay, no, then no interest. No interest.
Can so Caius moisturize his face with this book? Then no. No. No.
Will it keep Sky from riding an e-bike? Okay, Sky, I'll read that. Sky, I'll read that. Cool. So the vendor is like, okay, your total comes to $10,500 worth every penny, my $10,500 queen. Yes, I can. She's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Basta. I've lost my mind. I've lost my mind. Pasta? No, I would never. I didn't like lose my fucking mind out of my ears. I would never say pasta. What kind of fucking monster are you? Fire this gay.
Not my energy.
Fire this. No, Rachel, please. Please. Sorry, I had to banish the gay who suggested I have pasta in a store. It's over for him.
Rachel leaves and a sad piano plays as the gay goes back to his little den in the back and hibernates until she comes back to the store. Well, yeah,
he shrinks. It's a good season. He shrinks down and turns into smoke and goes into a little tiny jar kept inside the cash register. A straight guy comes out. He's like, all right, I'm here to sell.
Hey, bro. So Amanda, back to Amanda's place, Amanda's talking to Eddie and she's like, anyone cry about mama being gone? Like, even not even at bedtime? He's like, no, bedtime's different. Because Kanan laid on top of me like he usually does. And Liam was beside me and I held Shosha's hand on the top bunk and I felt him. The most I felt him in a really long time. And it turns out that what they're talking about is that they had lost a child 3 years ago, that they had, Amanda had given birth to twins. They were in the NICU and one of them didn't make it. And it was a very sad and scary. It's terrible. It's really, really, it's really bad. And we see cell phone footage of them cradling their child and crying, et cetera. It's very dramatic. It's very, you know.
Cell phone footage on the TV.
I don't know if cradling. I had a cell phone footage.
Yeah, moment, I was. Yeah, but it's one of those moments where you're like, okay, but obviously that's okay. Like a huge loss. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to say anything, but as a viewer, I was like, what the hell? It was weird. It was weird to put that, but you know, I talk about that all the time of like people like posting pictures of themselves crying on Instagram. I just don't get that. I'm from like, I'm just an older bitch, you know, where it's like cry at home and then pretend you're happy on the internet, you know? So I don't know which way is better really.
Yeah.
But it was shocking to see on TV for sure. And what a terrible
only because thing it was, to
happen. My God.
Yeah. I have to imagine maybe they were like, we want to document these moments that we do have with our child. But it was, I don't know if I personally would have whipped out a phone at that moment, but
sad.
It was other way, so sad.
So really she's like, you know, and obviously the anniversary of him dying is on Friday. And last year that was a weird day for me. So I don't know how I'll be. And so then the music's like Beverly Hills, fucking Beverly Hills. So we see Dorit. Yes, Dorit striding down the street and going into a restaurant called Ospi. And sounds like a very Dorit. Restaurant. Like, did Dorit name that? What?
Where are we meeting?
What? Where?
It's her trying to sing Don't Speak.
Don't speak. I know just what you're saying. Please don't speak.
She meets with her new two-woman management team, Claudia and Emma. And Dorit's like, oh, hello. Oh, God. I think I'll go with the fish sandwich. You never see those today. Which I thought was such a funny thing.
Chapter one. What happened to the fish sandwich? Where's it gone? Fish fill where? Fish fill where? Never seen a fish sandwich before. Today people are going to get to know me in this new book. For example, Dorit stands for the return of fish sandwiches. Write that down, ladies.
So this lady, Claudia, is like, well, Dorit, I have something for you. Is it a fish sandwich? Because you never see those anymore. Did you notice that? No, it's not. Here you are in a copy of a Roller Coaster magazine.
Spelled R-O-L-L-A-C-O-A-S-T-E-R. Roller Coaster magazine. I'm looking it up right now. Roller Coaster magazine, Dorit. Dorit, okay, Roller Coaster magazine. Dorit Kemsley. It covers Roller Coaster's SS25 issue. It's Dorit in like a little trench coat. Maybe it's French trench coat. I'm going to go with that. And she is looking to the side in sunglasses, standing in front of a bunch of trees and reading a newspaper in a really awkward way. Like the newspaper is all scrunched up and kind of closed. Like she doesn't quite know how to read a newspaper. She's never done it before.
Yeah, and she's in front of a lot of ferns or palms or something like that. She's it's the Los Angeles Times Sunday edition. The headline says a deeper look at shootings of bystanders by the LA Times. It's like, look at me having a fashion moment, reading an article about how people are getting shot on the street.
It's very Dorit. Like you see kind of a house between the trees. Like, who shot this? So just scanning through random parts of the article, I found this.
I wanted to be a lawyer from a very young age. But at 5 or 6 years old, I wanted to be a cowgirl. I was sure I wanted to be a cowgirl. I loved horses. They were my favorite animal. And I spoke to my father about it and explained that it doesn't bring in a great income. So after that, I said, okay, then I'm really not sure what to do. But you remember those shows like Divorce Court? I just loved that forum, and I was very drawn to being a lawyer, even to this day. I think I would have been a really great lawyer, but you know, that wasn't my destiny.
And they're like, could you pull a Kim Kardashian? She goes,
oh, someone said that to me the other day, actually.
I'm sure, Dorit, someone the other day said, you know what, you should pull a Kim Kardashian and become a lawyer, Dorit. No one said that to you, Dorit.
Yeah.
Master of lies. Pretty sure
no one said that. It's actually quite a long interview. Like it's really, it goes for a while. I mean, no surprise, it's Dorit. So she has a lot to say about everything. But
I'm just going to scroll to another part because I love Dorit's stupidity. Do you think it's therapeutic or harmful to have those moments immortalized for others to consume?
Somewhere in between. My children, footage of when they're young is nice to have. Life is a series of evolution. For example, I started out as a baby elephant, just hideous. And then I found roller skates and became the beautiful penguin swan you see today. Thank you. Thank you, evolution. I'm going to be a penguin swan lawyer with curls in her hair. That's it. Print it. Write it down for the book. People for generations will know. This is Dorit's.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
They say, what's the last thing that made you laugh hysterically?
Gee, I need to do that more often. That was me laughing hysterically. That's probably the longest period of time where laughter is not as prevalent as it normally is in my life. But I'm thinking about that day on the beach at Garcelle's. Little jabs, little hilarious jabs. Kyle and I were literally almost peeing our pants. We laughed so hard. I went, and we were on the ground nearly wetting ourselves. I think she actually did. You can print that. Kyle Richards pees her pants all the time. Liar, liar, pants not on fire because they're soaked in urine.
So, Dorit is writing a book, guys. She's getting a book. And we find out that she had to get rid of her manager because she separated from her husband. And that was her manager, quote unquote. They're like, so was PK a better manager or a better husband? And she's like, chain both of my answers to a radiator and give them a very small national tour. There's my answer, Karma Chameleon.
Guys, I need to work. I need to earn money. I don't want to have worries. I want to be able to buy whatever I want, be it a Bulgari watch or a fish sandwich. You know, you don't see those very much anymore. So I do whatever I want for the kids. I've got goals, guys, and I need to do those things.
Like, well, obviously, you've got the book coming out. One of the first things I said to you was, how have you not written a book? And then I talked to you and I realized I'm not sure this woman even knows how to hold a pen. So it makes sense.
Once I talked to you, I thought, have you not been hit over the head with the book?
I know, but if I'm going to do my memoir, I want to put my heart into it. I want people to be able to pick up my book, finish my book, and say, why did I read that book? And that way they know me so much better.
Dorit, nobody wants a book from you, okay? I think this book came out already. I think this book was written in like 5 minutes, by the way. I think she just like picked up her phone and like voice to texted and sent it to these ladies. And they're like, add some pictures with Dorit with huge rollers in it and call it a day. And she's like,
well, I just signed a book deal. Writing a book is not only going to give me the opportunity to go through the journey of processing everything that I'm going through, but thinking about everything that's led me to where I am today. The good, the bad, the ugly. There's the title of the book. No, I don't like ugly people. I'll marry them, but I don't like them. All right, print that. That was a good one. Book done. Book finished. Who's paying for this fish sandwich? By the way, what if I bought a Bulgari watch for the fish sandwich? Would that be a good chapter? Yes or no?
It's going to be a cathartic experience to put pen to paper. And I really feel like I'm moving into a new chapter of my life. And that is a pun. And you could put that in the book, in the chapter that says, fish sandwiches, am I right?
The other thing we need to consider is the cover. That's the whole book. That's it.
The cover?
Yes, I just want a book that's a picture of me standing there, looking out of a window, about to say, Mobley! Mobley!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I love that they're going to shoot the cover before the book is not even finished. It hasn't even started, but they're going to do the cover first.
Yeah, I think Dorit's book came out. Wasn't that something we talked about earlier in the season? Dorit Kemsley book.
Let's see. I don't remember.
Yeah, Dorit Kemsley book, Amazon books. Let me look. It's called Unburdened.
Unburdened.
That's right, Unburdened, yes.
A memoir. Yes. Let's see what it says. Unburdened, a memoir by Dorit Kemsley.
Opening it now. The Real Housewives. God, it's the shortest description I've ever seen. It just says...
picture. Insert picture.
That's all it says. Now it says...
From Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Dorit Kemsley comes a candid memoir, which she peels back the layers of her life and shares the unscripted moment that shaped
who she is.
Hmm.
When she became unburdened by the fact that she finally found a place in Los Angeles that serves a fish sandwich.
It's so hard to find.
So now we go to a place called Elevate Infrared. And if you think that they are going to spell out the entire word elevate, you are mistaken, because it's Elev number 8. And Sutton and Kyle go meet there and they get into an infrared sauna that's 159 degrees and it is too hot for them. They're like, wait, we have to do an entire scene in this blazing heat. So then they try to turn the temperature down and Kyle makes it hotter. And then they basically just turn it off. Like, we're not doing this. Okay. I got into makeup today. We'll just turn it off. And, you know, they're like, we don't want to be filmed in red light. So here you go. So
you're not paying me enough to die on camera. Oh, really? Because like I do that in like literally every scene, you wuss. By the way, I wanted to add Dorit's book is on Amazon, but it's not available until April 21st, just in case people were scrambling over there. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Why didn't Ronnie tell us when it's available? That's when it's available. Okay, yeah. So we're in the sauna. And Kyle also has like a metal water thing, which I feel like wouldn't end up well in a sauna. You just burn yourself.
You know? I know. That's going to conduct heat. So Kyle gets right to work. Did you end up talking to Jennifer? And Sutton's like, well, I mean, she and I were roommates, so we talked every day. What are you talking about? She's like, no, but like, after you snapped at us that night, remember when you did that? Because you're cray cray. Did she say something? Yeah. So, well, I just find it interesting that she would say something to you before saying something to me. So now you tell me this information, and I'm gonna go tell stuff to other people before I tell it to Jennifer.
Yeah, and also she did say something to you, and you snapped at her and shut her down in front of the entire group. Sutton. So she did try to say something to you. And so Kyle's like, well, I mean, like it was in the moment when you were like, Jennifer, just stop. Remember that? That was like so scary. You were so scary. I love it. And then when she went to the bathroom, I came out and she had tears in her eyes. And she was like, well, Sutton snapped at me. And I was saying like, she was saying like, it's always about you. So awkward. Wow. What a good friend, Kyle. That's really sweet of you to chase somebody while they're upset just so you can get dirt to go cause problems in their friendship. Exactly. There's Kyle. Always old reliable Kyle.
Good old reliable Kyle. So Kyle goes, yeah. And then she said she understands why Garcelle is not friends with you anymore. And I was like really surprised by that. But anyway, I think she may have smiled when she did that and then like rubbed her hands together. And then maybe she said, I think you're my new best friend, Kyle. I don't know. I don't want to get you upset or anything. So then Sutton's like.
Also, she fucked the niece. She fucked the niece. Yeah, she fucked Denise one time with the breakers. So I'm sorry, I'm getting all my shit talking. I'm sorry, I have 5 cars. I've got a lot to think about. It's getting all.
And then I think she's confused.
You stole her goddamn house.
I think that Jennifer also said that she's gonna go get her hair done by Joey Maloof or something like that. I don't know. Sorry, is that triggering for you? Okay, Kyle, just stop it.
Adrian Maloof had a surrogate. What's happening to me? It's too hot for Kyle.
Kyle also says that Sutton. Kyle says that Jennifer said that Sutton can be problematic, which I don't believe we saw Jennifer say. So Sutton tells us that.
No, and Kyle's purposely using that language because she brought up Garcelle and then called her problematic because she knows that Garcelle is very sensitive about being called a bigot on this show. So Kyle is purposely stoking fires with words like that. That's typical Kyle.
Yeah.
Not her best word, but Sutton's very easy.
Yeah. She's like, I mean, Jennifer has seen how sad I've been over the past few months / years / entire life. And it's so mean. And I want to go talk to Jennifer immediately. But first I'll talk to Erica about it and some other people. And some other people after that. And then I'll talk to Jennifer and say how upset I was that she didn't come directly to me the way I came directly to her after several people.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really sucky. Come on. That's sucky to bring up Garcelle. I mean, God, people just bewilder me. They bewilder me. So now we go to Las Vegas, the Nevada Fertility Institute. And Bose is in a medical gown waiting with Keely, and they're going in for the procedure. And she's like, I'm ready for the eggs. I brought this bucket from a nickel machine. Just put them all in here. The triple sevens, triple sevens. Let's go. Let's go.
I'm feeling every emotion possible. I've never had a smooth pregnancy before. And if this doesn't work, I worry about Keely's overall satisfaction because I know he really wants a child. So if he doesn't have that, what does that mean? So this has to work. I'm like, I look. In a relationship, I think it's a beautiful thing when people make sacrifices and do things for the people that they love. I think that is wonderful and great. But I also get like really sick and tired of hearing about these guys who are like, well, I want a baby. And like women who've had like high risk pregnancies are like, well, I guess I'll have to do this again. Like Caroline Stanbury, now Bose is doing this. It's like this is like, yeah, you may want to have a child. This lady has to do all the hard work, though. And it's like dangerous. I just feel like it's unfair. And like every relationship is different. And like if Bose is fine with it, then it doesn't even matter what I say. But I just think these guys are ridiculous. And the fact that she's concerned that he's going to leave because of it when she's the one that's like put her body through war. I just don't think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The thing that bugs me is I don't like the term. I worry about Keely's overall satisfaction, as if at the end of this experience, there's going to be a pop up. Like, how on a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied were you with Bose's service today? And it just kind of grosses me out with Keely. Although, you know, like I got it. He wants to have a baby and stuff. But like you're dating someone who's almost 50 and you should have started sooner, sir. Like you wouldn't even move here in the first year. Yeah, so well, I just feel like it's a lot to ask. And I don't like it. I'm team Bose.
Yeah. I mean, if they get a surrogate, that obviously helps. But like we saw this on Dubai with Caroline Stanbury, where like Sergio was like, I want to have another baby. I want that baby. I want that baby. And she was like, no, I don't want to have another baby. It's really hard on me. And it's going to be like dangerous for my body. And the way these guys like, I don't care. Like, I hate that. And again, you know, people make concessions for the people that they love. And if they are fine with it, it's what they want. Then like, it doesn't matter what I think. But these guys, you know, sort of forcing their ways. I just don't like it. I don't like that dynamic.
Yeah, so then we go to Rachel's house, and guess what she's wearing? A full-length gown. That's right. Oh, we're calling it that, not a caftan. How dare you? So we see senior brand producer Mary Elizabeth and her Antonio? Private chef Leo. Yes, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. And Leo. Yes,
Leo, fun chef. Fact, former Bravo star. Leo was a contestant on Chef Academy, a long forgotten Bravo show that was really, really good about people learning how to cook in Venice, California.
Well, there you go. Apparently he learned because now he's cooking for someone who doesn't eat. So I'm sure his food is delicious. He's like, yes. My audition for the Rachel Zoe, I just brought in a plate of popsicle sticks and got the job.
Nailed it. Nailed it. So Rachel's like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, why is this so dark in here? It's like dark. Like, I can't see. Like, oh my God, before I could see, I can't see now. Oh my God, am I alive? Did I die? They always say go towards the light. Is there like no light in the light? It's like, there's actually like so much light I can't see.
How am I supposed to go towards the light if the lights are out? Like, literally, like I'm like dead. Like, I'm literally just like dead forever. I'm like, come on. And they're like, yeah, so the power's out on the entire block. Sorry, don't hit me. She's like, oh my God, I don't even understand why the fuck this happens. Like, I do something. Like, what are we supposed to just eat in the dark? It's like one of those restaurants you eat in the dark. Like, come on. Jesus, that's the only way Roger's going to get a date, by the way. I hope he finds one of those to take some child into to date. Fucking moron. Date in the dark.
I love.
Dead. I've died.
I love that Rachel has no concept of rolling blackouts because it's the summer. And in Los Angeles, what happens is, or in California in general, because it gets so hot that they have to do rolling blackouts because the energy grid gets overwhelmed with all the air conditionings and everything. And Rachel has like no idea. She's like, oh my God, like it just went out. Like, oh my, did the electricity find like an amazing vintage Chanel bag? Because it seems like it's dead. It's dead. Oh my God, I'm dead. no lights.
Rolling blackouts are not supposed to happen to rich people. They're supposed to roll around us. Roll around us.
Roll away. Roll out. So Chef Leo's like, it's okay. I can like make it work. Look, I can cook with a lighter. I can light the gas with the lighter. I don't understand what any of that means. I don't even know what a stove is. What's a stove? Is that like a new type of dress? I love it. But she's like, okay, well, I'm going to put on a spiky headband, make myself look like a Greek goddess and walk out into this. Oh my God, it's light outside. Guys, did you see that? It's like light outside, but it's like dark inside. This is crazy. It's bananas.
You guys, why does the sun have power, but we don't? Like, this is unfair.
This is my fucking life. It's like not raining. There's no storm. Caius is moisturized. And there's no reason not to have power right now. Like, what the fuck? Like, why does this happen? Like, me. Why did electricity decide to target me today? I'm like dead.
Meanwhile, at Sutton's house, Kathy is on speakerphone. And she's like, I just don't know why we don't have power. But, oh, you're going to crack up. I came up with this idea. We're using a handheld fan. Because you're so hot. Well, no, to blow dry my hair with. We're blow drying my hair with a fan. I had the maids come in here and actually blow with their breath, but they've been eating a lot of caviar and potatoes, so it's a staff meal. It wasn't very good. I got a little bit of egg in my hair, so we changed to paper fans.
I got to get the lady a toothbrush. So, okay, well, do you need to come over here and use my electricity? Because blow dryers are very important. Oh, well, I may have to.
And then you just hear you just hear Carol in the background going, blow harder, bitches, blow harder. You're going to be out on the street.
Jennifer has curlers in her hair and looking at shoes and dress from her assistant, deciding what she's going to wear.
Yeah. So then Amanda is driving around in her red Porsche Converti and Kyle's with her. And she's like, so what's tonight's occasion? Are we just getting together at Rachel's? Or Amanda says, a psychic. And did you see the Evite? Because it's like a psychic summer something. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see a psychic. And Kyle's like, I love a psychic at dinner. Wink, wink. And then we see Alison Dubois, who, like, in retrospect, should have been made a housewife immediately.
Yes.
I think smoking her little electronic cigarette going, he will never emotionally fulfill you. Know that.
Know that. Kyle says, I'm hoping that the psychic tonight does not have an electronic cigarette and is a positive psychic. So then we go back to Amanda's car and Amanda's like saying how this is an emotional week for her because Monday was her child's birthday, and so it's also the anniversary of but today is the anniversary of when the twin passed, and so it just seems weird to be out. But she explains that her husband was like, you should be out with your friends tonight because it'll be a good distraction from the anniversary of Zion's passing. So then we see Sutton and Erica riding together, and Kathy shows up at Sutton's house in curlers to get her hair done. She's going to use Sutton's electricity while everyone else is heading to the party.
And Sutton is driving with Erica. So it's going to be a psychic party. I have a few things I need to get off my chest with Jennifer. So I hope the psychic sees that. I hope she sees that. Erica's like, oh, God, girl, I thought you were going to say me. At least you know I have something going on with me. You're going to really talk to Jennifer about this? That'll be good. That'll be good. And by good, I mean exhausting. I've already dusted off the patio chair. What the fuck more does this show want from me? I've got to drive with Sutton now? Come on.
Have you ever heard of a thing called a sponge? Yellow on one side and green on the other, and one side's rough, one side's soft. Just the way I like it in bed with Shrek.
And Sutton's like, well, I'm going to ask her truly, Jennifer Tilly, why did you say that?
Yeah.
And I'll just say, it just wasn't nice.
Yeah.
And I'll say, can you explain yourself?
Yeah.
Erica, are you giving thinking about me or the sponge funny. Again?
It's so funny, Erica. Erica just giving nothing to Sutton. Sounds like, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go talk to Jennifer.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to tell her.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell her I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was really nice.
Yeah.
Erica's just like, let me out of this car. Why am I even on this show? Erica, I think if anyone, we joke about Rachel saying, like, take a pulse. I think Erica, like, can we check Erica's blood pressure? Is she even still living? Erica's just like, whatever, roll me into a party, sit me down, put a straw in my mouth, and I'll just drink and have a good fucking time with these dumb bitches. Get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Erica, do you have a personality?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like have like a favorite song?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then Erica, there's a long way to go to make an Usher joke. So Erica tells us,
Jennifer's saying that Sutton makes everything about her somewhat true, yes, but Sutton probably feels betrayed by Tiller. Like, you're my friend. I've already fallen out with Garcelle because I'm a stupid bitch. Ha! But why do I need to have a falling out with you? Am I right, everyone? High five, America. Okay, I'm going to go back to using this thing called counter spray. God, I love house maker things.
Well, she should have come to me first. Like, listen, you have no idea who you are dealing with. You have no idea.
Yeah.
So then we go to Rachel's, and she's putting place cards out. Mary Elizabeth, put out the gift cards. Put them out, me. Put them out. Mm-hmm. Are you going to put bags on chairs? Like, is that how we do things here? She's like, yes. Rachel Zoe slippers, Rachel Zoe pajamas, Rachel Zoe fragrance, Rachel Zoe sunglasses. Oh, my God. It's like an orgy of Zoe. Love it. Dead, died.
What I love is that because Rachel Zoe deals with famous people and is famous herself, no one bats an eye at the fact that she puts out a swag bag of all her stuff. But if it were like Dorit or anyone else that just gave everyone a whole bunch of Beverly Beach, like, oh my God, is this like a commercial or something like that? What's that? What the hell? Or like when Jenna Lyons did it and Psy and Aaron complained about all the free shit that they got. I just love how there's a total different standard for people who are famous on these shows. They're like, oh my God, thank you so much for all your Rachel Zoe stuff.
Yeah. So then we meet Angie, the tarot card reader. And I don't know that I trust Angie because she's got like a new version of tarot cards. They're like the artwork. Like I don't like the artwork. I don't know what's like, going on with this tarot artwork, but it looks like girl power cards. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's Monday and I got this girl.
It's definitely like it feels like the New Yorker. It's like New Yorker tarot cards, right? Like, I'm surprised that, like, the various cards were not like, I need to talk to my therapist. So Angie's like, well, everyone, I mean, she's like, sometimes, Rachel, it's okay that you lost power. There's going to be some hiccups and, like, you're just going to keep adjusting and, like, it's just going to be more magical. That's the message I keep on getting from my cards. It'll be a magical night. Oh, my God, really? I like that message. What else does it say? Do you feel anything about like what the new Valentino line is now that he's passed RIP?
No.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, but like you've pulled a lot of really bright pink cards with girls with wonky facial features and blonde hair, which I get. You have not pulled one that says death, so you're fired.
Die. So then in comes Natalie, Rachel's friend. We'd heard that would be on the show and I forgot about. And she comes in like a sheer outfit that has like, it's like bikini bottoms underneath it or whatever. It's like bodysuit, whatever. I don't know. It's like a little bit more risque than these women are at a dinner party usually. And there's a reason for that because Rachel tells us that she met Natalie through her soon to be ex-husband, Simon Fuller, who we know is the, among other things, I believe he created American Idol. I think maybe he runs Fremantle. I'm not sure about that. But he's like a big deal. And that's how, and she's been going through this divorce. And as a result, this is new Natalie because she used to be more, we see a picture of her before where she was just like,
oh, you know, I'm just Natalie just sitting in the
kitchen. Look at me in my jogging pants jumpsuit. Okay, I'm in a jogging pants jumpsuit.
Marine Oxford.
And now
I'm Natalie, ex-wife of Simon Fuller, bitches. I need inside a prenup, suckers.
But this Natalie, I'm not really sure why she's wearing this, but girl, this is just like a dinner party with the girls. You look crazy. You look like literally crazy. I'm glad you feel freer, but you're also going to feel like in need of a like blanket in a minute because it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold in 5 minutes. So she meets them and Rachel's like, this is Natalie. She's getting divorced. You might have guessed that by her outfit. That's a thong. But yeah, this is Natalie. And Erica's like, oh, well, you're clearly not boring. Look at you. Look at what you're wearing. And she goes, oh, I love a hoe dress. Natalie is giving expensive hoe.
Yeah, and this is where we see the before and after pictures. And Natalie's like, well, when I was getting out of the car, I was like, I'm really sorry for whoever sees my vagina.
Divorce. Why are you sorry? Sorry. I think you should show your vagina as much as you want. Platypus.
So then Jennifer enters and she's got like this beautiful black gown with this like a cape. Cape seems to be in. I feel like we're seeing capes all over Bravo right now. This cape that's like diamond studded. And she's like, we are dressed like the cosmos tonight.
Jesus Christ, Jennifer, I'm going to like rip those diamonds off of you. Like, amazing. Oh my God. Oh, don't even sit. Like, just stand, twirl. Amazing. I'm done. I'm tired now. You can go away. Thank you. That was enough. Jennifer Tilly is like a walking museum of fashion. People always ask me whose closet I would take over. And I say, what's your name again? Jennifer Tilly. I'll go with Jennifer Tilly. She's here right now.
Maybe it's Jennifer Tilly. Like, never heard of her before, but like, now I'm here. Now I like her. I get her now. I die. Like, I die.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says, part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
Happy are we, it's Allison with an I.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.